title of my message this morning is The Behavior of the Church. The Behavior of the Church. It is an exposition of the first doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ to His Church, as set forth in His famous discourse on the Mount, detailing the manner of conversation to be found in the bridal church of Christ. Our text this morning is found in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me there if you will, please. Matthew chapter 5. It is written, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy love. Father, thanking thee for thy loving kindness and great mercy which thou hast shown us. Father, thanking thee, Father, for the privilege of being able to come here, Father, and assemble to hear thy word preached. Bless it to our hearts and to our minds, Father, as we lift thee up and lift up the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I've been asked to preach on the subject of the behavior of the Lord's true church. The church, in the institutional sense, has grown weary. And yet she must always be living as if the Master would return right now. Instead of worrying so much about the battle of Armageddon, my brethren, my sisters, we need to be worrying about the fight every day. The good fight. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be a direct contradiction of the world of sinners. While the world is living in darkness, the Lord's church should be living in the glorious gospel light. We should be living as men, women, boys, and girls who watch for our Lord. We have no continuing city. We desire a better country. Although I was born here in Babylon, I am a foreigner. I live in Rome, but I will not do as the Romans do. For Christ is my master still and forever. As we witness the events that are going on in the world, the mysterious death of millions of birds, millions of fishes, along with all the weather patterns, the massive tornadoes, the increase in earthquakes. In fact, the Word of God says that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain because of the iniquity on this earth. And it is more important to us in the Lord's bridal church in this ever-increasing apostasy of this world, as we see all of the world's religions merging into the one world religion, we see all the signs that our Lord's return is imminent, from whence we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, brother, but I'm excited. As all these things are taking place, people are worrying and scratching their head, but we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to the epistle of Paul the Apostle to Philippians, chapter 3 and the verse 20. As you turn there, my brethren, my sisters, I wonder, when was the last time that we sought to understand our Master's discourse, which are His primary directives? Teaching the young church how she ought to conduct herself. I wonder, as we examine this, Philippians chapter 3 and the verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. Let me repeat that. For our conversation is in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. You see that word conversation? I looked it up. The Greek word is politeuma. And it translates into citizenship. So another way of rendering that verse of Scripture is our citizenship is now in heaven. My brethren, my sisters, the implication of this is amazing. We are now citizens of a city that needs no candle or sun. So then our very speech, our very conversation should indicate our citizenship. How much more ought we to concern ourselves that we are strangers in a foreign land? Spurgeon says, there is no comparison between a soaring cherub and a crawling worm. I observed something about the Filipino people who come to this country. They are called OFWs, Overseas Foreign Workers. And many of them work as professionals, such as nurses and doctors. Yet they live here in the States in a state of near poverty. And I wondered, why would they do this? The Filipinos send all their money home. They send millions and millions of dollars each year back to the Philippines because their citizenship is not in this country. We need to take a lesson from this. We need to send our gold home, store our treasures in heaven. And how do we do this, you might ask? Well, our Christian service is a good place to start. We have gotten so far away from Christian service. The church in the institutional sense has become worldly. It is our purpose this morning to answer the following questions. What does our Lord's discourse on the Mount, and especially the Beatitudes, mean for the church and her conversation? Where does it come into our lives, and what is its place in our thinking and in our outlook? You see, the money of this world is not current in heaven. Where does it come into our lives, and what is its effect on us? Why did the canon of Scripture cause it to have such a prominent place that it took up three chapters in the first book of the New Testament? With the promised help from on high, the blessed power of God the Holy Spirit, I will endeavor this morning to expound that pattern of behavior which our Lord Himself told the church, and the importance of that our Master placed on them, placing them at the very outset of His discourse on the Mount. First, let us look at the place of the discourse. Look at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Brother Joe, I love this picture of our Master, the captain of our salvation, high up on a mountain, commanding and teaching his troops. These first words of our Master, the very first words of the God-man, not the man-God, the God-man, reveal the way of happiness, the blessed happiness that comes not through doings, not by any works, but by being. It comes not by doing, but it comes by being. And I want you to see this. Namely, that person whom we become when we live a Christ-centered life and a Spirit-directed life as a child of the King. This blessedness belongs to every Christ-like character. Now let us examine the church's character. Look at verse 3. It says, blessed, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, he is not spiritually poor, because that through the poverty of Christ he is made rich. The humble spirit is indwelt by the God of grace and glory. And that's the difference. Isaiah 57:15, it is written, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Also, look at verse 4. The church is a church that mourns. It says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We are not mourning for the missing, for the fear of missing the kingdom. No, no. But over everything that hinders our being conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We mourn over the sins of others. We mourn over our lost loved ones. We mourn over the times that we live in. And we mourn over the enemies of Christ. And then look at verse 5. The church is meek. The church is meek. Look what it says there. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He would not be like his master who is not meek and lowly. Matthew 11:29, our Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. And I'll drop down in your fifth chapter of Matthew to the verse 39. And look what it says there. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. In Titus 2:14 it says, who gave himself for us, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good works, the church hungers and thirsts. Look at verse 6 of Matthew 5. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We hunger and thirst not after the pleasures of this world, but after the righteousness of Christ. These cravings are the desires of the new man. If you have been truly regenerated, you don't like doing the things that you used to do before. You don't like hanging around with the people you used to hang around with before. You have new friends. You have new family. You are now in the family of God. And you are in the kingdom of God, and you are in the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is merciful. Look at verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We delight to show mercy because we ourselves have been shown a great mercy. We delight to show mercy so much. Did not Christ pray for His enemies? Shouldn't we also? Here's an example. As much as we hate what is going on right now in the government, even though what's going on even right now in the White House, instead of praying for these people to go to hell, we should be praying for their conversion. We should be praying that they would come to know and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 8. The church is pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, the church's heart is right with God. She's wholly yielded up to do God's will. She is delighting to do all that is pleasing to the Master. She is cleansed by the blood and open to the light. Pure in heart, that reminds me of light, because light is pure and God is light. And in Him is no darkness. God, the Holy Spirit, has built a small compartment in our heart. I don't know how He did it, but He comes to live there. The church makes peace. Look at verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You see, the church loves peace because the church has God ruling in her heart. She seeks to make the peace by proclaiming God's forgiveness of sins to man and to be reconciled to God. Now I ask you the question, are you like Him? I thought that music was coming from up above. I said, what happened? Okay. Now I want to exposit the church's prospects. Each Christ-like characteristic that I have just gone over has its own reward. It is always so. The church, my brethren, my sisters, shall be comforted. Look at verse 4. We are promised comfort by our Master. Many try to apply the Beatitudes to the millennium or to a social gospel that will supposedly change the world if it adopts the Beatitudes. But I tell you that these prospects are the sole prerogative of the church today. This is the hour of darkness. Be poor in spirit, and the kingdom is truth. And all the comforts of the kingdom will be given. You see, it says, look at the verse 5. It says, He shall inherit. He shall inherit. You see, the church doesn't have much of the earth right now. We don't have much right now. But when He comes, we shall inherit it. Revelation 20 in the verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Oh, there's a good time coming. Daniel 7 and the verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days comes and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And then the church shall be filled. Look at verse 6. They shall hunger no more. We shall be satisfied fully when we are in His likeness. We will be filled with the fullness of God. Present hunger is just evidence of future filling. There's a satisfaction for every holy longing. Verse 7, He shall obtain mercy. The sovereign grace of God, which covered our sins at that cursed tree of Calvary, can cover every fault, every failure. We will be found blameless in and through the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not through any righteousness of our own. This is the blood applied. And then look at verse 8. He shall see God. Because His heart is holy, because He is pure. You see, Hebrews 12 and the verse 14 says, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holy eyes see holy things. A holy heart shall see a holy God. Holiness is a capacity for God. And then lastly, in the verse 9, He shall be called a child of God. You see, the world calls us a cult, but the Word of God calls us sons of God. For my final point, the church shall be rewarded. Look at the verse 12. It says, rejoice! Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I conclude my message this morning with the promise of God. I submit to you that all we need is right here in this precious book, His promise. It says, for great is your reward in heaven. That is what we stand on. That is what we stand on. Christ expected that His disciples would have joy in this world and would manifest this outwardly. There's no such thing as a long-faced Christian. You see, He says that we would rejoice and be exceeding glad. Our passage contains all of these beautiful words of hope, my friend. Great is your reward in heaven. We are reviled here on the earth, yet we shall be rewarded in heaven with an eternal weight of glory. For my last verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let not the fear of man rob you of your glory. May the Lord be pleased to use this message for His own great glory. Thank you.